Greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your speaker today is John Ahorn of Atchison, Kansas, and we're going to read with you now from the first epistle of John. Now, if you listened in to the last message that we brought to you, we spoke to you about what a saint may know. That is to say, what is common property for all Christians, all believers, all who are born again and on their way to heaven. We saw that Christians know that they have eternal life. Believers know that they have eternal life. Now, it's possible that I'm speaking to some today who do not possess that knowledge. And further, who have deep convictions in your heart and your soul that no one could be sure, no one could know here and now that they have eternal life. Just this week, some of us were visiting a young man. In fact, we were traveling by automobile. We picked this young fellow up and gave him a haul to his destination. And we said to him, "Did you know that you're traveling with the two preachers today that know they have eternal life and sure of heaven?" "Why," he said, "I don't think it's possible for anybody to know that." That is to say, to know it for sure. He said, "You see, as for myself, I merely have a hazy hope of entering glory when I leave this scene. But of course, we can never know that for sure." Now, we said to him, "Young man, that's your idea, but now what does God have to say on this all-important subject?" Now, I'm going to read to you from the first epistle of John, and we'll read a few portions in this interesting epistle. Once again, to remind you that John's epistle is the family epistle. I, of course, mean by that just what John means: the family of God. Those who have experienced a second birthday, or who have been born from above and who have been brought out of nature's darkness and at the place of distance from God and in a state of spiritual death and without hope, brought into the sphere of life eternal, and the very life that the Savior has been communicated to all the members of His family. And of course, we become members of the family of God, as we have already intimated, by the spiritual birth. Divine life is imparted on all our heirs of God and heirs of salvation. Now, in the epistles of John, there's, of course, the first epistle consists of five chapters, and then the second epistle, one chapter, and the third epistle, one chapter. And, of course, a great deal of the truth that's contained in it is what all Christians ought to know and what all Christians should enjoy. In fact, he opens up that epistle by saying, "These are written that you might..." Well, in fact, the very first chapter, he says, "I write these things that your joy may be full." And, of course, he wants that all believers have fullness of joy. No. Salvation or eternal life or the gift that God has to give is not a killjoy, but it's that that brings peace and life and joy and real satisfaction. You never can find it in the pleasures of this world. You may drink of them ever so deeply, and you'll find what the Lord Jesus said to the woman at Sychar's well: "Whoso drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. There shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." The joys of God's free, full, and eternal salvation would become yours instantaneously. Now, coming back again, if you will, please, to the first epistle of John, where I think the key words there are knoweth and known. In other words, John is telling the whole family of faith what they may know and what may be known and what may be enjoyed. Now, this is sort of in contrast, in a sense, to what you have in the Gospel by St. John. The key words there are believed, believe, and believeth. And you'll find those in John's Gospel practically 100 times. Now, coming back to the epistle then. What may a child of God know? And what do children of God know? Well, I'll tell you. They know, first of all, that their sins are forgiven, because this comes from the Father. And if you'll listen, he says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake." Isn't that wonderful? Now look, the church does not have power to forgive sins. And no rites that may be administered in any sense of the word can bring you into the enjoyment of forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins comes through the name and through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he says, I write unto you little children. And I should perhaps point out that this is an endearing term, this word little children, and of course it embraces every member of the family of God. Now this is not something that we attain by weeks or months or years of experience in the school of God, learning more of that blessed one who loved us and gave himself for us. But the moment I trust him as my soul, I receive him into a good and honest heart, then he can say of me, I write unto you little children. He can say that of you. I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And our friends, there's power in that name. Yes, indeed, there's salvation in that name. There's life in that name. And I'm wondering if you know him. This is life eternal, that I might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Now I should further like to point out some of the evidences that the child of God has that he knows his sins are forgiven, that he knows he has eternal life. And if you were to turn over to the very next chapter now, that would be the first epistle of John, chapter 3, and verse 14 we read, we know that we have passed from death unto life. And then here's one of the proofs, because we love the brethren. And I'm really wondering now if all who hear me today belong in that group. Could you be classified thus? We know that we have passed from death unto life. And one of the proofs is we love the brethren. Now the speaker well remembers when he did not love the brethren. I certainly had no time for Christians, and they had no place in my heart. I loved the world and the things of the world. But you know, by the impartation of a new life and of a divine nature, that's the life that my Savior has, I find my delight now in that that delights him. That he found his joy in, I find my joy in now. And you know, he had interest not only in his own, he loved his own, loved them with an everlasting love, but he loved also the world. He loved those that sinned against him and sinned against him with a high hand. And if we were minded and had the time, which we cannot take, but if you were to go back to the very scenes of the cross, when his enemies thrust that spear into his heart, when they did for him the very worst possible, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You see, they were in the dark, and of course did not understand that they were simply carrying out the scheme of Satan. They were lined up with the enemy on the side of Satan, who was certainly against God and is still against God and against all who have received him and exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there are a great many things in this epistle that our Heavenly Father wants his children to know. And as we have intimated, these are those that have been born again and are in his family. And he does tell us the things that he wants us to know. But now I should like to point out something now for the benefit of some who may be listening to me who are still strangers to grace and strangers to God. In other words, have never been reached, have never been saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a desire above every other desire in your heart, and you're saying, well, I wish I could say, and I wish I could speak with definiteness, and in the truth, telling the truth, that my sins are gone, my soul is saved, heaven is secured to me, I'm bound for the land of the pure and the holy, the land of the happy, the kingdom of love. This is what I long for more than anything else. Could you tell me how I could come into the possession of such knowledge? Yes, thank God we can. We can show you from the Scriptures how you could come into the knowledge and into the possession of what he is holding out even in this late day, for we believe we're right at the end of another dispensation, and we wonder sometimes if we'll be on the air the following day. We wonder if the Lord will not come and have shouted us into his presence, and then the day of opportunity passed and gone forever. And so I'd like to read this to you. In the first epistle of John, chapter 5 and verse 11, we read, "And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Oh, that all might hear it." Now, here's how you come into the good of it. 1 John 5 and 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Wouldn't that be wonderful knowledge? Now listen, you couldn't buy that knowledge if you were a billionaire. All the wealth of the entire world was at your fingertips. You could not buy eternal life. You could not buy what you could have for nothing. Listen to this as we close. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Oh, take him now as your own personal Savior, and life everlasting is yours." Thank you, friends, for listening in, and we sincerely trust that the message that you have heard has found its way into your heart. Should you be exercised and desire further help along spiritual lines, we are at your disposal. Drop us a line to the following address: Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas. Meantime, may you be blessed of God, is our daily prayer in your behalf.